I don't know about you, but where would I be now if I hadn't made that seemingly insignificant decision? So if I hadn't moved to Birmingham, which was purely a career choice, I would never have gone to the church that I went to and met my wife. I mean, what would that have been like? Not meeting Alison would have just been awful. And I often thought, well, I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't come to Birmingham. I wonder where I'd be right now, who I'd be married to, if I'd be married. Probably not, I don't know. But anyway, but we can have these what-ifs, can't we? These what-ifs. What if I hadn't done that? And then, I don't know if you ever think like that. I just do. Maybe it's my age or something. But, of course, there are also those times when we make bad decisions and we kind of regret. And it's not so much the what-ifs, but if only I'd done this, or if only I'd done that. I remember when I bought my first car, you know, I was so proud of my red Peugeot 104, I don't know what that is in French. It was this little red car, 1 litre engine. When you got it on the motorway, it sounded like a tortured electric whisk. But I loved that car, you know, it was just the best car I ever had. And I was just extremely proud of it. But unfortunately, I stretched myself so much when I bought it with the loan, I couldn't afford fully comprehensive insurance. And so I only got third party. So when I crashed it a few months later, you can imagine my regret. And if only I'd got fully comprehensive insurance, especially as month after month, the money went out of my bank account for this blessed loan and there was no car to show for it. You know, and I'm just still so upset about that, but I'm getting over it. But, you know, the decisions that we take can affect us so much. Big decisions can completely change our lives. And this is certainly the case for Ian, Dan, Claire, Andrea, and Tristan. These are massive decisions to follow Jesus, and it will change and has changed their lives. And as I said, this decision has already changed their lives because we've heard their stories. We've heard how God has changed their lives. And baptism really is how we mark this change in a very visual and profound way. So for the next few minutes, I just want to talk about why our lives need to change and how Jesus does this for us. So why do our lives need to change? Well, you might already know the answer to that question. Because my life stinks, you know. You can have that sort of, everything's gone wrong, there's nothing good on my life, I really need to change. But the reality is that for many people, they don't have any particular reason why their lives need to change. That they feel that things are good, actually, and things are going really well. There's no particular reason. There's nothing wrong with my life at the moment. My old boss was very much like this. He was wealthy, healthy, happy, and pretty at peace with the world. He had two lovely children who were obedient, which is more than some, you know. And they were doing well at school. Why would he need to change? I had these conversations with him. Why would I need to change? And people can live pretty good lives, actually. They can give to charity. They can help the elderly. They can be good parents. But the Bible says that everybody needs to change, and no one is exempt from this. And that's because, as Paul says, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs to change. None of us are innocent of sin. We've all told lies, yeah? We've all stolen. It might just be the biscuit from your parents' biscuit tin, but we've all stolen. We've all rejected God's moral law. We've failed to come up to his righteous standards, so we need to change. And the Bible calls this change repentance, which means to turn around, to go a different way. You see, Christianity isn't just a crutch. Christianity is God's own solution for the problem of sin. And it really is a problem, because sin has got really serious consequences for us. The Bible tells us that sin leads to death. This is the consequence of sin, a consequence which is symbolized in the first part of the baptism. And see, as we immerse Ian and Dan, Claire, Andrea, and Tristan, because I didn't write your name down, as we immerse them in the water, they enter a realm of death. It's like a burial service. I don't think you knew that you were coming to a burial service today, but it's like a burial of their old lives, their lives before Christ. But that's not enough. If we were just to bury them, what would happen if they were left under the water? You know, it's not enough, is it? The picture works, because actually they're human beings and they will die. We've tried this. But rest assured, we won't do that today. But the reality is, leaving them there isn't enough. They need to be rescued. Now, I don't know if you've ever needed to be rescued. I remember once, as a teenager, I was out canoeing with my brother and some friends in a force 5 gale. We were being real heroes, and we were just going to go for it. The idea was we'd go out of Poole Harbour, where I lived, and we'd go round Brownsea Island, and we'd get back just in the nick of time before we die. That was the idea. But what we didn't build into our thinking as teenage, virile, testosterone-filled men is that as you go out of the harbour, the waves get extremely big. So as we went round the corner, suddenly we were hit with this barrage of water. I think just about all of us were completely swamped. I worst of all. What happened is the wave hit me from the side. It took my deck. There's a deck that you put round your tummy here, and it stops the water going. And well, mine was just ripped off with the force of the water. And what happened? I sank. I just sank like a stone. You're not meant to be able to do that in a canoe, but I just sank. And there I was, dangling there with this canoe stuck round my ankles because I couldn't get it off. And my life jacket just about keeping my head over water. I hope you're getting the drama of this. This was just a traumatic experience. Eventually, I managed to kick the canoe off. And there I was, just sitting in the water, suspended by this life jacket, with waves going over my head, and nobody was to be seen. And I was there on my own. The desperation of that moment, I mean, I'm laughing about it, but it was frightening. It was horrendous, just to be left in the middle of the sea like that. I needed to be rescued. It was freezing cold, and there was nobody to be seen. Eventually, somebody saw me, and they called the lifeboat. The relief of being pulled into that lifeboat and being taken back to shore, I can't tell you, it changed my life, that experience. That need to be rescued. But in the same way, we all need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from the judgment of God against our sin. But you see, there's going to come a day when there's going to be a day of reckoning, and we don't like to talk about this. But one day we will have to stand before God. One day, the one sure thing in life is that one day we will die. And we need to know what's going to happen then. Because one day we will stand before God and we'll have to give an account for the lives that we've led. And when you stand there in that place, let me just say that I'd rather face the sea than God on that day, unless I'd found a solution for sin, for my sin. And this is why we all need a saviour. One of those descriptive names that's used of Jesus in the Bible. And we access our saviour, this saviour, when we put our trust in him. The book of Acts says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so for us, baptism is more than just a symbolic act. Rather, it's a physical an external demonstration of what we are asking God to do internally for us spiritually. So what each person who enters the water today is saying to God is, I accept your judgment of my old life. I've sinned and deserve death. So let me be buried and have my sin washed away. It's a way of saying to God, I'm done with living the way that I've always lived. I repent of it. But of course, as I said, we don't leave people under the water. We bury them, but we also lift them up again. A kind of resurrection when we believe. So Romans 6:4 puts it like this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, baptism isn't just about death and burial. That would be pretty morbid, wouldn't it? And we wouldn't be celebrating as much today, would we? We'd be going around with some very long faces. Oh, I died 20 years ago. How about you? Well, I'm not quite dead yet, but I'm working on it. But it's not. It's not about that. Baptism isn't just about death and burial. It's about a new life. Which is why we celebrate in the second part of the baptism, as each one is lifted out of the water, that a new life has begun. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. We were singing about that this morning. We're not condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And so baptism is really a cause for celebration. So we'll get a bit excited today. And that's good. It's something to rejoice over. We'll probably make some noise. A bit like Steve was describing, a goal has been scored for the kingdom of God. And so when we see that goal scored, we're going to cheer because our team has won another goal. We're going to get excited about that. The wonderful thing is that God does not leave us dead in our sin. I've heard of people who say, I live a crucified life. And boy, can you tell they do. They're just so miserable. That's not what baptism is about. That is not what Jesus is about. Jesus is about a new life, a new beginning, a new start, a clean slate. The old has gone and the new has begun. So I wonder how that makes you feel today. You know, perhaps it's time for a change for you too, if you haven't made that decision yet. There's an opportunity for you too to make that change. Wouldn't you like to know that you've got a clean slate? Wouldn't it be great to wake up tomorrow and know all the guilt from that has just gone? I don't feel guilty anymore because I know God has forgiven me. That's what the gospel is about. And so there's an offer, special offer. The offer of a changed life is for us all. Jesus said that he wants us all to be saved and come to know us. And we want you to as well, if you don't know Jesus today. Many of us here today, we've heard 4 or 5 testimonies. But actually, you could have heard 20, 30 testimonies of how Jesus has changed our lives. Now, one of the ways that people can explore this is by doing the Alpha Course, which you might have heard just sneakily mentioned a couple of times during the testimonies, the Alpha Course, and we've got one starting in May. So if you're interested, can I encourage you to complete the welcome card, because it has a box there that you can tick, and we will send you some news about when that starts and where. Okay, so that's the idea. The welcome cards are on the back table over by the food, so you can't miss it. The tempting delights of food over there. Right, so that's it. That's baptism. It's about a changed life, and it's about what Jesus has to offer, a new life for each one of us. Let's just stand and pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate today in the changed lives of these people. But Lord, we can celebrate about a lot more changed lives than that, because Lord, you've done so much for each one of us. We pray, Lord, that this good news would be trumpeted all over Solihull and beyond. Lord, you really are good news. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the ability to celebrate in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we can just rejoice with one another today, as we were hearing earlier. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray blessing on one another as we pray for people a bit later on before before they're baptized. Thank you, Lord, that we can bless them. And Lord, believe good things to come, new things to come from a new life that you have bought for us, Lord Jesus, by your blood. Amen.